The first time Richard Crawley held a camera and clicked the shutter, it was the beginning of the rest of his life, basically. He was only a young boy, but that urge to record his life experiences never faded. He later worked as a photographer, but also filmed everything. His wife and son, cats, dogs, cows, a box of tomatoes, literally everything. His son James Crawley is now a filmmaker too, and he's turned the camera on both of them in his own attempt to make sense of their relationship. His documentary, Volcano Man, is a quirky, honest account of a family in transition. It's showing as part of the Melbourne International Film Festival. Richard Crawley and James Crawley, welcome to Life Matters.
Hello.
Thank you, Hillary.
Great to have you both with us. Richard, do you remember the first photo you ever took and how it made you feel?
Well, Hillary, I do. Yes, I was on my seventh birthday and I was given a brownie box camera, you know, one of those boxy things that you look down and through. And I set the sort of a family group up and I just remember the extraordinary delight of that clunk when I pressed the shutter, and that was something that stayed with me forever, I think.
It was such a long time to wait, though, wasn't it, till you saw the results? Fast forward to video, you must have thought your Christmases had all come at once.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, I did teach myself, I'm totally self-taught, so I built a darkroom at the age of seven and probably nearly killed myself with the fumes in there. But anyhow, I did that and sort of learned how to do that. But yeah, you're quite right. And that's an interesting question too. We better not get off the subject between using film and digital. There's a very big difference.
I think there's going to be lots of opportunities to get off track on this interview and we'll try and wrestle it back. Richard, there are some fantastic stories in the film of, you know, you setting up a darkroom in the hold of the ship that you came to Australia on, the lovely story of how you snuck your way into becoming a rock photographer. I'm going to have to leave those for people to watch the film because they are worth it. But James, your childhood was comprehensively filmed. What was that like?
Well, it was just normal for me at the time, but on reflection, probably unique. I mean, you know, going back to when I was a kid, I guess that was unique. But, you know, watching yourself being born isn't something I guess everyone does.
No.
It was just normal for me.
So was there a point where you realised, I don't think everyone else's dad does this?
Yes, but there was plenty of things my dad did that other dads didn't do.
Such as?
That's true of everyone. Everyone has, a unique set of parents.
That's true. Well, if you could give us a sense, you know, this is going to be embarrassing for you, Richard, but James, if you could give us a sense of your dad's personality and why it's so powerful when we see it on the film.
I did have someone once tell me, you know, if you can bottle this guy's energy, you know, you'll be a very wealthy man. And he's just very unique. I mean, I love him to bits. He's just a great guy. But, you know, everyone that meets him thinks he's the coolest dad you've ever met. And that is true. Very much true. But, you know, I obviously, as any son or daughter would, I get the full, I guess, version of my parents. And that's, I guess, what the film was about. You know, you get this great guy on one hand and you get this complicated guy on the other hand, this relationship that he and I have, which is great, but, you know, with all its intricacies as well.
Yeah, one of my uncles said to me recently, everyone's an unusual person. I thought that was pretty useful. But James, as you say, you know, there's that energy and spontaneity and humour that we see on the videotapes from your childhood. But there's other things too. You found some incredibly moving tapes when you started sifting through Richard's recordings. Tell us about that.
I did. I found 30 or 40 hours of footage he had filmed after my mother had passed away, his wife. And it was, you know, a self-confessional set of tapes. And it was, you know, Dad talking in the moment of the grief as to what he was going through, which, you know, I came down to his house in Country Victoria over on Christmas and sat there and, yeah, watched hours and hours of tapes of over a weekend. And, you know, everyone has this version of their dad from a kid, you know, this sort of pillar of strength that is your father. And then when you start seeing cracks in that armor, it's pretty revealing and pretty interesting. And, you know, you start, and everyone has this revelation at, you know, one point or another. That's what sparked, I guess, the idea of investigating film and trying to create a wider story about it. But yeah, the grief tapes was what I discovered, to answer your question.
Well, and Richard, what was it like when James came to you and said, I want to put these incredibly raw confessional tapes into a film that everyone's going to see?
Well, perhaps like a lot of fathers, I mean, James, you know, I love him more than anything, of course. And he's also my best friend, which is, you know, in a way, you know, besides my partner, you know, my current partner. But I mean, you know, he's also, you know, he's so part of me that, in a sense, but he's an individual. Now, what I'm trying to say is that I had total trust in his view. And I just said, you've got carte blanche to do anything you want to make this a great film. And I think he has. So that's, yeah, it was quite courageous, I know, but, you know, that's fine.
Well, extremely courageous of you.
Yeah, but it was interesting looking at all the images and film from back in the day when, you know, when you and Carol got together, Richard, and all through your life together with James as a young fella tottering around on his tiny little feet and beyond. Did you think, and then, you know, looking at these grief tapes, as you've said, did you feel like all those things were one day going to be seen, or were they just for you?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I kind of, everything I've always ever done, whether it's film or video, is for the celebration of it. I mean, yeah, the grief tape's a little bit different, but at the same time, you know, very much the celebration of the moment, you know, even whether you ever see the film in the end, you ever even develop it. But yeah, and I guess I was thinking about making a film about grief myself from a very personal perspective. That's why I shot the stuff, as well as sort of wanting to get out my emotions and express them that way. But in the end, unfortunately, I just couldn't be objective. I looked at the stuff. I couldn't stand back. I couldn't look at it. And so this is where my brilliant son came in and put the whole thing together. So the film did get made, but not finished by me.
Well, so. Carol sounds like she was quite different to you in some ways. She's this calm, quiet presence, but not afraid to speak her mind. I love the moments where her voice comes out.
No, we were attraction of opposites. You know, I say we are attraction of opposites, so that's my view. But anyhow, she very much was a quiet and considered person. I'm not trying to imply I'm totally not that, but I guess I was the extrovert and she was more the introvert, yeah. And she tolerated me pointing this funny video camera at her most of the time.
Yes, she's almost always smiling.
Well, she told me to rack off enough times too, I assure you. Yeah.
Well, and Richard, when she died, when James was only in his early 20s, how did you...
21.
How did you approach your grief at the time, Richard?
Whoa. Well, yeah, well, I mean, when these things happen, and grief is a, you know, they say there's seven stages of grief. Well, I think if there are, it's different for everyone. And grief is a journey. There's no closure. I mean, in the end, you do learn to live with the situation, and I'm fine, and I know Carol's fine and all that. But the point is, it's a journey. And so, sorry, what was the question?
Well, how did you approach your grieving at the time? What did you do?
Well, immediately after Carol died, I remember, J-Mo, you remember this? We went to Hall's Gap. We went to the Grampians in the middle of September and went camping for a week. And it was appalling weather. And, you know,
tree almost flattened our tent at one point.
It was almost a catastrophe, though, yeah, the whole thing. But, no, emotionally, it was incredibly tough, yes. And James was very much the stalwart for me at that stage. You know, I know he was absolutely devastated as well, but so at best we both just hung on. And that's the thing with grief. You've got to hang on, and then it's almost like the whole world starts rocking, and then it eventually rocks less, you know?
Yeah, I love that, the camping. Sometimes you've just got to put yourself in a place where the elements are matching your internal mood, I think. But James,
exactly
watching the film, it looks like you and your dad have quite different approaches to how to deal with this seismic event. What was it like for you at that time?
Yeah, well, I did internalise it a lot more than dad perhaps did. And it took me a long time, really, I think, to just wrap my head around the whole thing on to be able to even talk about it. You know, it's incredible that I'm now on the radio talking about it with, you know, semi-intelligibly, hopefully.
Yeah, very well.
But, you know, like I just wouldn't have been able to even wrap my head around what the feeling was, you know, back then. And, yeah, externalizing it was very, very hard. And that was kind of one of the big motivating factors for making the film, really, because if I can make it sense, you know, make it make sense in the film, then perhaps my head will make sense too.
It was fascinating seeing you go through old journals in the film. So you had taken this refuge in writing. Your dad had taken refuge in these tapes and in, you know, continuing to live life and having this perspective that, you know, Carol had just changed state and was still there. And there were these differences and tensions, it seems, at times between you. Did making the film change that? Did it affect your relationship, James?
I mean, everything affects every part of the relationship, I guess. But what it has done, which has been amazing, is given us, I guess, the language to be able to respectfully disagree about some things. You know, Dad, I won't speak for you, Dad, but, you know, you do believe in ever sort of, you never really die, I guess.
Well, I think we're eternal.
Yeah, that's right. And whereas I don't. I don't believe that. I think we're here and then we're not here. And that's what I had to, and I'm fine with that. And I think that's a great thought myself. Mm. And that's what I had to come to terms with.
Can I answer the question too?
Sure.
I think our relationships become stronger since the film.
Absolutely it has.
Yeah, it's great. It's really good. Because the important thing is that you talk about things, you know, in this world. It's really important. And communication is, I mean, words are inexact enough, but so if you don't even try and use them, you're in real trouble. So we have.
Did it help you, Richard, to see James more as an adult maybe? Because sometimes it's hard, isn't it, when you're looking at your children and thinking they're my kids and then suddenly they make this leap and they're their own person.
Oh, yeah. Well, as you just rightly said, and I think that's true for every parent, and it's just evolution and part of the wonder. I mean, if it didn't happen, it'd be really worrying. It'd be worse. So, yeah, no, it wasn't hard, really. It was an acceptance. But, you know, Carol was such a wonderful woman. It's important to, you know, she was, you know, her influence on you growing up, Jamie, was massive, you know, obviously. You know, she was a wonderful mother.
Well, and James, you've written that this, well, you've said that this film is a love letter to your mum. How do you think Carol would have felt about seeing this film?
I think she would have been initially quite shocked, as I was, that, you know, who's going to care about this, you know, as if it'll, you know, play to, you know, why would people want to look at our little family? But then I think she'd be incredibly proud.
I think so too, just as an outsider looking in at this this family portrayed on the film. I hope the Warrnambool screening close to home on the 13th is fantastic. And thank you both so much for joining us on Life Matters today.
Well, thanks, Hilary. Thanks very much.
It's a pleasure. Richard Crawley, the star of Volcano Man, and the filmmaker James Crawley, his son, who put it together using a lot of archival footage and also some really wonderful recreated scenes and really quirky shots. Volcano Man screening as part of the Melbourne International Film Festival. You can see it in a cinema on the 11th of August in Melbourne, throughout regional Victoria after that, and streaming online from the 11th to the 28th of August. Check out the MIFF website for details. Richard's also in a punk band around the area in southwest Victoria, so you might catch him in pubs.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.